Welcome to Southeast Geeks, a Silicon Slopes East podcast devoted to what people are geeky about in Southeast Utah. On these podcasts, we interview locals, business owners, and individuals that like to spend time in Southeast Utah for one geeky reason or another. These episodes may be about individuals or companies doing high-tech things in the region or entertaining activities that people are passionate about in Southeast Utah. Today, we are talking with Tara Spalding, Managing Director of Boom Startup. Boom Startup is an action-oriented, change-making accelerator ecosystem guiding businesses to success through partnerships, mentoring, and funding programs. Boom Startup will help you break through the barriers holding you back. Welcome, Tara. It's great to have you with us.
Michael, thank you so much for having me here today.
Should we go ahead and get started?
Absolutely.
So before we talk a little bit about Boom Startup, I'd like to ask you just a few questions about yourself that are unrelated to work. So first thing I'd like to ask is perhaps you could share with us two or three things that you would say that you are geeky about, whether it's outdoor things or whether it's something you can do here in Southeast Utah or just things in general that you're passionate about.
Oh, Michael, I am passionate about many things. I would consider myself a jack of all trades versus an ace of one kind. I certainly enjoy art and very athletic and competitive myself, and enjoy things such as triathlons, skiing, and I also really enjoy mechanical things. I have an uncanny knowledge about helicopters, for example. So yeah, I'm a different bird in many ways.
What about things that you like to do here in Southeast Utah? Have you been to Southeast Utah much? And if so, what do you like here?
Actually, my family and I cherish Southeast Utah. In fact, one of the first spots that we came and visited after we moved to Utah was Goblin Valley. And it was mind-boggling, not only because of the unique formations, but because of the layers of history that were just surrounding us that just told just infinite stories of time and going back to Precambrian ages. And then we climb up it looked like a rubble strip, and there's these amazing geodes just naturally broken open that were, I guess, unearthed from fallen rock from, you know, the sides of the landscape. And that's when it just dawned on us how special these unknown areas in Southeast Utah truly are. There's just wonders and treasures everywhere.
Have you ever had the chance to see any of the petroglyphs or anything like that in the area?
Oh my gosh, yes. And those date back, I believe, like 4,000 to 10,000 years old. Mm-hmm. And our markings of civilization where people would get together to do trades. And I'm personally fascinated with like commerce and capitalism, and kind of makes someone like me chuckle. In addition to appreciate the art and, you know, just thinking about how the heck did they create something to last and weather thousands of years for us to still see it and appreciate it.
I would agree with you. It's phenomenal, but at the same time, I almost wonder, was it just kids being kids and, and graffitiing the walls a few thousand years ago? And that's probably sacrilegious or whatever. But anyway, so.
I love it.
Should we continue anyway before we hurt ourselves politically or whatever? Let's talk about Boom Startup.
Yes.
Perhaps you can tell us a little bit about what it is, where you're located, and maybe elaborate on a little bit what the company does.
Yeah, I'd be honored. Okay, so Boom Startup is an accelerator. We are a division of a company called Assure. Assure is the leading financial administration provider in the United States, primarily known for creating SPVs or special purpose vehicles. And these are basically business entities to collect investments to be basically given into companies for equity. And so SPVs have become, well, they were created in like the 70s and such. They gained popularity originally like with commercial real estate or large airplane assets, etc. But nowadays, SPVs are being used to manage funds, like fund administration, as well as direct investment into companies. Now, why this is important, and as to what I do with Boom Startup, is my accelerator focuses on growing startups or very early stage companies. We love working with founders, and we love helping them when it comes to finding the right sort of funds. Not all companies are investable, unfortunately, but all companies can be sustainable, and access to capital is so insanely important. Some companies will take the path of debt, for example, using credit cards or personal lines of credit or revolving funds. Some companies will use non-dilutive debt, such as grants, to get access. And then there are other companies that have very high growth expectations and will use capital like from investors, etc. And those are called equity or dilutive funds. And so that's what we do at Boom Startup, is that we help companies understand their path and figure out what's the right sort of capital. And if they go down that equity path, then we can leverage and create SPVs to find the right investors to invest in their companies. When you're starting a business, there comes a leap of faith. And that's when it's like, okay, I can do this, but I need a little bit more cash, and I can get the business to be at this sort of level or a break-even point, right? The best source of capital is, of course, sales, but sometimes you need material or a location or labor to get you there, right? And so that's how come there needs to have this sort of education when it comes to finances and financial planning, etc. And so that's what we do at the Accelerator. We start there and then we continue on.
So I sat in on one of your training seminars a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you could give 30,000 foot elevation maybe on how the SPVs work. I know that you mentioned it briefly, but how could it work for, say, I'm a new entrepreneur in a small community. Is there a chance for me to use SPVs? And if so, what would that situation look like?
Yeah, great question. It's not around SPVs. It's, will investors invest in your business? And that's the question that we get to boil into. And our accelerator really helps the founder figure out if they're on that path or not. The first question is, what's your financial planning, and especially the rate of growth? And do you have an expectation to basically exit out of your company so that someone else acquires the asset or whatever sort of value that you're bringing to the table? If the answer is yes, then you're on the right sort of path. When you, as a founder, start looking at your business financials, if there's a high trajectory or growth rate, that if you get that sort of access to capital, you can create like 10 times the amount of sales, then it's something worth considering, because that's something investors want to back into. If you think about investors, we all make investments every single day, right? We invest into our retirement fund, we invest into our children. And it's really about what's going to do the right sort of payout and payback. Investors, especially for founders, are looking to contribute to communities. They're looking at getting a lucrative return within the next 7 to 10 years. And they're also looking to participate possibly in something that they personally enjoy or have experience or connections to when it comes to an industry. And so finding those sorts of investors and giving them the right sort of investment opportunities is really what attracts them.
So let me ask you then, how do individuals or new businesses get in contact with Boom Startup? What's the best way to reach them?
Well, Boom Startup, and I didn't answer this question before, Boom Startup is based in Salt Lake City, Utah. However, we do not have a cohort location such as this place. We do everything 100% online. And we do that because, thank you, COVID, it's very difficult to request startups or founders to come and move into a location, you know, disrupt possibly their market entry or connections with their existing customer base to participate in accelerators. So we do everything online. And the way people can participate is literally by going to our website, similar to what you did, Michael. Just log in and sign up and participate in our programs. And our programs are rolling, so you can join at any point in time. And they last from basically 1 hour to up to 12 weeks, depending on what exactly you need help with. And they're just a fantastic way that not only do founders get the education, but they also connect with mentors, for example. They can also access tools or things like SPVs if it's applicable and the timing makes sense and is right for their business to grow. So we're pretty much a different accelerator because, you know, we don't require equity out of the gate. We don't have a very difficult entry or onboarding experience. Anybody can come at any time.
So to follow that up, are there fees for membership, or how does it work if someone were to get Boom Startup's assistance?
Yeah, we definitely have a different revenue model because I think what you're asking is, well, how does your business operate as a business? And that's a fabulous question. We do not, again, require equity for founders to participate in our programs. Most of our programs are free, but some of them do have a nominal fee that the founders pay for. And again, it's all opt-in. It's not a forced pay. When we work with founding companies that do raise equity, we, of course, use the Assure SPV or Special Purpose Vehicle to work with the investors. And we do take what's called a carry, and that is different than like a management fee or such. And it's a very small percent compared to the other average carry percents that other accelerators ask for.
So other than nominal fees that you say, you're making your money, I guess you could say, on the back end.
That's right.
The company makes their money.
Yeah, and that's how come we think the alignment is really well. Because if we invest the time and resources into working with the founders when it comes to financial education, and if we do a really good job weeding out and giving people capital accessibility to non-dilutive funds or debt-based fund sources, and then possibly equity or dilutive funding sources, those that do take that equity route are certainly much more loyal to us. Additionally, we've been watching their business grow over time, and we can vouch for them. We can work with their investors. We can help them tell their story better in that whole investment preparation. Our alignment is very truthful and very straightforward because we're all looking for the same exit.
Let me ask you this. Who is your primary customers, or who are your most ideal candidates to take advantage of your resources?
Interesting question. And I think COVID had a massive influence on who's participating in our accelerator now. By the way, the accelerator was actually founded in 2011. So it's been around for a while. The transformation, I think, came because of the accessibility to our material being online and that our programs and classes are all online as well. 75% of our participants, of our founders, are female or minority or marginalized. And I think it's because of that sort of commit with grit DNA.
So let me follow that up. Is that intentional, or is that just happens to be?
Just happens to be.
Okay.
So if it's a low barrier of entry, and people that want to stay with the program are committed, then those are the ones that stick into the program and succeed. So I'm just watching, you know, who participates, and it's definitely in the more grittier type of people that don't naturally have those sort of access to capital resources or knowledge because they didn't do the conventional, you know, I got an MBA route, etc. And so it's certainly the working class, it's the innovators, it's the disruptors. And with that also, we do have some that are in the tech sector, but we have a lot of non-tech startups that participate in Boom Startup as well. And it's beautiful because they all have similar hurdles and growing their company, and they all kind of feel a little isolated. And so our online programs and, you know, meetings, it just creates a community. It's really cool to watch.
So you kind of alluded to this, but it was my next question, so it's perfect. What are some of the greatest challenges that you see for entrepreneurs and new businesses, and how do you at Boom Startup help them with those?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's some I can help with and some I just watch and just, you know, give them a heads up. First and foremost, I always think it's about surrounding yourself with the best person possible or the best people possible that have that experience that you may not have, that have the connections that can help out, etc. Like, I really believe that it is a village to start a really solid business. You know, the companies that came to fruition during COVID and succeeded in the first year when funding, like early stage funding, was basically ratcheted down, and succeeded that did very, very well because you look at trend lines in history, like whenever there's a recession, like 2008 crisis with the housing market, et cetera, you know, that's when we saw some amazing companies just come to fruition that now on the market, like Lyft and Grubhub. And we're seeing it again, of course, you know, because of COVID. Look at all the wonderful biotech companies that are coming up, or telemedicine, et cetera. Like anytime we have a crisis, there's a burst and bloom cycle. You asked about what's coming up now in trends. I think we're in a soft recession. When you look at inflation, when you look at different aspects of price increases in our day-to-days. Yet, I wouldn't say a massive recession because we still have
booming.
We still need labor, etc. It's just a shift. And so, you know, I think outside of that whole capital aspect, it's pointing to efficiencies and productivity increases. And I think that's where we're going to see a lot of areas of improvement. Everything will always have an underlying of technology or data, because, in fact, that's where we can get more precise. You know, the divine is in the detail, right? But, you know, I think it's going to be much more of a lean startup methodology over the next couple of years because of those sorts of shortages or inconsistencies in prices. Like, margins are going to be a little tight.
Looks like the geek is on the sneak. It's time to play Geeky or Game Over.
We want to play a little bit of a game with you. The game is called Geeky or Game Over. And so what you do is I'll ask you a phrase or a statement, and if you like it or enjoy it, you tell me that you're geeky about it. And you're welcome to elaborate or whatever you want to do. If you've never heard of it or you don't like it, you say Game Over. Sound good?
Done.
Okay, so first one. Game of Thrones.
Geeky.
Did you watch the whole series? You read the books? What makes you geeky about it?
Yeah, well, I was pseudo-geeky for a bit. Everybody watched it. I was definitely late to the game, and it was just during COVID. I watched it, and I was just blown away with the cinematography and the creation and the characters, of course. So it was great. I loved it.
I read about 4.5 of the books.
Okay.
And all the people I was rooting for got killed off. So I stopped. I was just like, I'm done, whatever. So anyway, sports.
Yes.
Geeky?
Depends.
Okay, what kind of sports are you geeky about?
I played a little bit of hockey in my college years, poorly, very poorly, obviously, with my size and stature.
Could you skate?
Yes, of course.
Then you're a good hockey player.
Yeah, my third leg being the stick. I enjoyed hockey when I was younger. I also love watching football, of course. And yeah, there's like the Olympics that we just held, like, I'm glued to the TV and such like that. So being competitive and enjoying sports myself, yes, I would say geeky.
So what is your favorite Olympic sport to watch?
I really got excited this year. It sounds so bad, but curling. I was kind of blown away with how intense the curling was. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but the stone that was closest in the circle, they take out this really cool nerdy instrument, you want to talk about being geeky, and it takes a pressure gauge as to like this down arm, it's perpendicular to the center spin, and how much pressure it is against the stone, and they measure the same pressure. I mean, it's so micro finite, it's super something you can geek out on.
Wow.
I know.
I was thinking curling was really throwing a pot down some ice and people swept the ice to keep it smooth. I mean, but that's really scientific.
Yes, indeed. And you have to see their shoes. They have different shoes per each foot, depending on how they get down in that lunge.
Wow.
I don't think I'd be able to get back up, let's be honest. But yeah, I was having a blast watching curling.
Okay. Let's go to our next one, biking.
Yes.
Any particular places you like biking or just anywhere?
Anywhere, yeah. If I have a bike, I'm going. That's sort of my attitude. When I was doing competitions, I did a lot of road bike comps. Did a couple centuries. Those were fun. I like endurance sports. But now, you know, I'll just any trail, any mountain bike that we can do, especially as a family. It's so much fun.
How about Harry Potter?
Geeky.
Did you read the books, watch the movies, both? Do you have wands stored at home?
Yes, we do. And it was certainly one of those bridges to get our children excited about reading and illustration. I remember we had the regular books, and then we got the illustrated ones that were released on an annual basis, and just gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. But yes, 100% geeky.
Okay, here's a big geek one for you. Star Trek.
Game over.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm not a Star Trek fan either. Okay, hiking.
Geeky.
Any particular place? You did mention Goblin Valley. Mm-hmm. Anywhere else you like?
Honestly, anywhere with my kids. A little fun fact about me is that to release, you know, my mind and just kind of get a lay of the land, I like to bring my sketchbook with me hiking. And so right when my legs get tired, it's always funny how there is a rock right there so I can sit down and break out my sketchbook and just capture, you know, the scenery around me. I love sketching landscapes. And especially in this area, it's incredible. You always get like those 7 visual points of reference to really create a very in-depth design just with the mountain ranges to the desert plateaus. I love hiking around here and sketching.
You sound like an art teacher. Okay, next one. Lord of the Rings.
I would say geeky, but I didn't read the books, so that's how come I'm on the fence.
Well, I interviewed somebody earlier about this, and it was hard for me to read the books. I read them all, but they're written in kind of a turn of the century old English format, and we don't talk that way here in the United States, and so it's hard to digest what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the movies.
The movies are superb.
Right.
Okay, so I have a question for you.
Okay.
Did the books have the elvish language in there, like Belloc and such?
Mm-hmm.
It did.
Mm-hmm.
That would have just been like,
yeah, from what I understand,
brain hurting.
From what I understand, Tolkien, the author, invented the language as part of creating his whole fantasy world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And he invented like the dwarf language. And, you know, so he invented all this stuff because if I remember right, he was either a linguist or some sort of professor of language somehow.
Really?
And so that was really important to him.
No, I mean, it's apparent in the movies, but since I didn't read the book, I was curious.
I usually skimmed over that because I couldn't read it anyways. It was just a bunch of mumbo-jumbo together. But
did it glow like how it did?
No, sorry, it didn't glow. Maybe in the illustrated book.
the special ink.
Right. Next one, river rafting.
Oh, so it was almost a game over for my marriage. I liked it until we almost die. We were on a river ride actually in Montana, and I thought my husband was like almost overboard and gone, and I had no idea how we got him back in the boat. But outside of that, it was fun.
Wow. Talk about
I really don't want to be a widow, so I'm just going to say game over from here on out with that.
It was fun, but that chapter's over?
It was really great until that moment.
Okay. Next one, Dungeons and Dragons.
Game over. Have to say that.
Okay.
How about you?
I'm a Dungeons and Dragons nerd.
Are you really?
Yeah. So,
when did you start playing Dungeons and Dragons?
Probably teenager range, but it wasn't very often. I play it more now than I did as a teenager.
That's so cool.
So,
has it evolved to be online?
Yeah, actually. There's various aspects you can play, you know, remotely. Just, you know, COVID has helped with that. But, I mean, they've had platforms you could play online. I like the people interaction,
mm-hmm.
and I think you get a little bit more out of that. So I usually have a kind of a regular group that we get together. And it's fun because you get to be or do something that you wouldn't normally do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, I'm a nerd.
I like it.
Next one, Star Wars.
Geeky.
All of it?
Yes.
The whole universe of Star Wars?
Yeah, I even like the movies that most people hate. I'm like, oh, that's great.
I was trying, because it's on Disney Plus now.
Yes.
And I was watching episode 2, I guess, the Attack of the Clones, I think
Clones.
Is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get into, what's his name, Hayden Christensen? I couldn't. And I watched them before, mm-hmm. and they were fine. But I turned it off after like 45 minutes. So I don't know if that means I'll come back to it or I'm just done. But I love the Mandalorian. I love the Boba Fett.
Did you see the Boba?
Yeah.
That was great.
Rogue One. Really like that one. The newer ones. Well, of the newest ones, I guess it's Episode 7 is the one I like the most. That's when they first introduced that Rey character. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's basically the same thing as like Episode 4, 5, and 6, but, you know, with different characters. I really like that one.
Oh, we love it. And it's funny because our family at night sometimes will just do like a movie every night of the week during the weekday after the homework is done. And we'll go into like a Star Wars month. And it's just so fun because then I get to listen to what the kids saw and, you know, what they perceive and such. And there's things that, because I've watched it so many times, I know or I've thought about it much more. But it's interesting to always hear children's perspective. I mean, it really is a timeless piece of work. The creativity, the character development, you know, and just that whole chasm of good and evil. And then, you know, it's really about the decision of who you are and at what you're born is just amazing. It's lovely.
Do you find that that's a good platform or way for you to get involved and interact with your kids?
Indeed. You know, I have learned how to savor every moment. I'm definitely not one of the people that has a lot of quantity in my life, so I just focus on quality, which gives me a lot of joy and appreciation. And so, you know, moments come and go, and you can't wait for everything to be ideal. So we make the best of little things like movie nights and making popcorn or going on a hike and drawing with mom or whatever.
Nice.
I know.
Next one, Walking Dead.
Game over. Sorry.
Not a zombie fan? What if the zombie apocalypse comes? You won't know what to do.
You know, you're right. Likely they would probably want to feast on my brain. So it's just hoping it ends real quick.
Okay, very good. Last of all, let's go with ATVs and OHVs.
Okay, I am a psycho ATV driver, according to my husband.
Okay, elaborate.
Well, he's not a widow, but no, I'm joking. No, we enjoy, actually last time we were ATVing, we were down in Kanab and just had a blast. So yeah, love just going out and enjoying the scenery around here. Like Utah is synonymous with ATVs.
If you don't mind me asking,
yeah.
Where are you from? Where do you live?
Oh, not at all. I am actually a nomad. We currently live in Salt Lake City, but, you know, my travel will come again because I've lived in 8 states over my life, and I have family in 4 states. So, yeah.
So your ATVing is really an opportunity because you really can't do any in Salt Lake City.
Oh, indeed. No, we skedaddle out of the city as often as we can to do things like this because honestly, you know, half the time cell phones don't work. That's awesome. We can talk. And, you know, it's super fun, especially with teenagers. And, you know, this time shall pass real quick. So
it feels as if you've got things in perspective. So, time to end our game. We'll get back to the regular interview, if that's okay. So, just to be clear, what are some of the common things that people ask about Boom Startup that is not done there?
Like, what do you mean?
For example, what are some of the misconceptions, or what are some of the things that people think your company, Boom Startup, does, but you don't do?
Okay, understood. Yeah, so most accelerators have a very, very structured program. And that means the founders basically get additive support and resources with set expectations on the milestones and accomplishments and specific timeframes. And we are diabolic opposite as that because we don't force people to participate in our program. Here's our secret is that we're watching people's behavior. We have a really cool online platform. And it tracks the business growth on a quarterly basis, but it also tracks the founders' participation in our one-hour webinars, or if they make a request and meet with a mentor, or if they, use like one of our financial planning tools or whatever. And as they do these things, then we actually can gain insight on not only how their business are, but if they are coachable or not. And so in itself, by being a part of a community, it's not like you're being constantly tested, you're just being watched. And we can tell you that founders who ask for help and to follow up on suggestions, they are often the ones that are on the track for success versus the ones that know everything and won't change. And so, you know, to simply answer your question, we purposely don't give structure to let the best rise to the top. And perhaps that's how come we have such a diverse and inclusive, you know, group of founders, is because they're given the chance just to succeed on their own.
So would you say then that the amount of attention that your founders or your businesses that want to actually use your services, the level of commitment they have is reciprocated by whatever they do, you're willing to give back that sort of a thing to them. If they're doing nothing, then you're not going to spend as much time with them. But if they're doing these courses and engaging, then you want to help them move along and take those next steps?
Yes, indeed. Michael, you hit it right on the head. And that's the secret sauce. It's not us, it's them.
So they've got to put in the effort. And if they're doing it, you're going to coach them and help them move along.
Yes. I'm known for a phrase, and I say it often, but I can never say it enough, which is for startups, and especially when it comes to like investors or just, you know, customers, in fact, people bet on the jockey and not on the horse. And what that means is they're investing in the founder themselves, not into the business, because oftentimes at early stages, businesses must pivot and change. But if the leader of that business is coachable, as smart, as connected, as hungry, you know, has all of those really strong capitalistic qualities about them, they're going to succeed no matter what. And those are the people that especially investors want to invest in. I met a gentleman named Chase at the local computer company right before speaking to you. I think he's a really great example as to someone that's successful. Before he started his company, he spent 2 years basically in the industry, gaining the management and business operational skill sets before creating his own. And then he opened his business in the middle of COVID, like in the hardest time possible. But because he does computer services, it was actually an opportune time because down here, there wasn't an IT store. And secondly, so there was no market competition. Because of COVID, everybody's on their computer. So he just quickly jumped in. He's the kind of jockey that investors would want to invest in because he sees and understands the right market conditions. Plus, he came with the experience from being in other companies, but in the same industry. Brilliant kid. He's going to be successful right here in Price.
I like that phrase that you invest in the jockey. I think that that's kind of one of those things that, for example, we talk about, say, Steve Jobs, right? I mean, he had several business ventures that failed, but he was that jockey that made sure to succeed in a few of them and created a whole empire, right? We probably have some of his technology with us in our hands and pockets right now. So let's change up a little bit. You mentioned that you like the Goblin Valley area.
Yes.
But Southeast Utah and all of Utah is packed with numerous outdoor opportunities. Mm-hmm. What are, say, maybe your two or three favorite outdoor locations or things to do outdoors?
I just stayed in Helper, and I love the artisan community there. I'm absolutely blown away with just how that community has created just a very welcoming, open vibe, even though they're a little bit older, you know, versus other communities in the area. I met a couple of people who are retired, yet still very active as artists. I also really enjoy places like Moab, of course, you know, and all the monuments and canyons. Love the slot canyons and such. Just, we have so much fun down here.
Thank you. We've come to the end of our interview, and so I always have a final question to ask everybody.
Okay.
And the question is on a 1 to 10 scale. And it's a two-part question. So one will be about you, and then the other will be about Boom Startup. So the question is, how geeky are you about Star Wars on a scale of 1 to 10?
9.
Pretty up there. All right.
I think so.
And how geeky is Boom Startup as far as a resource for entrepreneurs?
Oh, that's a 10. Thank you.
Well, thanks for being with us today, Tara, and appreciate your time and your insight. You blew me away with all this knowledge. I'm going to have to go take a nap. to rest my brain. But thank you for being a part of the show today.
It's my pleasure. Michael, thank you for having me.
Until next time, everyone, you've been listening to Southeast Geeks.